Right now, it is time for us to switch gears and go from Annie to Jimmy. That's right. It is time for Cover Your Assets with Jim Lynch. Jim joins us every week at this time. He is a wealth of knowledge. He has, of course, experience on Wall Street, the economy, sports, politics, bringing well over 40 years of that knowledge to us on these mornings. And we say, good morning, Jim. How are you?
Good morning, Marshall. I'm great. And yourself?
Can't complain. Can't complain, Jim Lynch.
How about Jill? How's she doing?
Jill is fine, and Jill would like you to say, right after me, please repeat to one of your favorite listeners, good morning, Gudrun.
That's right, Gudrun.
Absolutely. Gudrun is one of your biggest fans, and she has basically, we've known her for years and years and years, and I think it'd be absolutely a good thing to say hi, Gudrun. So, Jim, say hi, Gudrun.
Gudrun Dunst. I'll tell you, if you ever come up here, we'll introduce you, and she'll put on a tee for you that's unbelievable.
Gudrun.
Unbelievable.
Not to mention one of the most talented needlewomen ever, and she's been here since, how long has she been here? Forever.
Forever. I've always
without,
been.
It's not here. There's no here without Gudrun. Anyway.
Right. So she wrote us and let us know that.
She called us yesterday.
Yeah, don't ever get rid of Jim Lynch. So there you go. You're laughing, but it's true.
Okay. No, I'm enjoying every moment of it. Right. Thank you very, very much. You're most kind. Very kind.
All right.
Okay. So let's get going here with a quote from a pretty famous writer, Sinclair Lewis, and it's, I believe, rather applicable to what we're going through in this country. And actually, we're going through it elsewhere in the world. Again, this is a quote attributed to Sinclair Lewis, who was a famous writer in the 20s and 30s here in the United States. Many of his writings were turned into movies. Anyhow, here we go. The quote is simple, but very, very potent. It goes something like this. When fascism comes to America, it will come wrapped in a flag and carrying a cross. So let me just read it again, let it sink in a little bit. When fascism comes to America, it will come wrapped in a flag and carrying a cross. The symbology shouldn't be lost on us now as we see this, you'll pardon the expression, fake patriotism being spewed about, nor people jumping up and down telling us how good they are and how good their religion is. The most important point is not those personal situations, but rather we are in a crisis, a constitutional crisis, as you probably are all aware of, in that the president is challenging the right and the responsibility as indicated in the Constitution of the United States, for the House of Representatives to basically monitor the funds that are spent by the federal government, to create legislation that creates sources of revenue, and it's up to them to bring that legislation, it's up to them to approve it, and then go to the Senate and get their approval, and then finally to the president for his approval. That right of the House is being contested now by the president. I don't need to give you a lot of details. It's all over the place. But what is very important is the fact that there's an attempt to bring down an aspect of the Constitution, which you start bringing down a House of Representatives, you're in the process of bringing down the government. A lot of people these days are talking about socialism, as if it was a somewhat of a dirty word. You really should, as you chat with folks or listen to people, have them define for you what they mean by socialism. Socialism was in the late 20s, 30s, somehow a lot of people thought of it as communism, which it was not then. There were tenets in it that were somewhat similar, namely taking care of all of the people, particularly poor people. The thing is this, socialism as we have it in this country, in my definition, is simply the use of our power as a nation to continue to keep us healthy and whole as a people by providing the services necessary to do that. Example, clean water. If we didn't have a government and we didn't have pay taxes to the government to fund a department that oversees our water supply, then we wouldn't have clean water. And besides being thirsty, we'd probably be pretty dead. Along the line of monies being given to people by, for instance, Social Security, it is very important for you to remember that you pay into Social Security. The government is paying you back monies that you put in. They take your money, they invest it in bonds, and they create additional revenues. Healthcare. We have grown so large and diverse, and unfortunately, the illnesses that hit the population at times can be very, very expensive. However, that doesn't mean we just give up on life. We do things to support it. And that's what Medicare is all about. It's not a charity. It's an expense of the government that's for the government. If we want people to be healthy and thriving and productive and creating jobs and therefore taxes for the federal government, we need healthy people. And if we don't, if we have a lot of sick people, only one thing happens. They get sicker and the rest of the population gets sicker. Those are only two really significant tidbits of what people really misunderstand in terms of the term socialism. If you think, for instance, many in this country trying to help solve this climate change problem, well, I have to tell you, the experts say 20, 30, 40 years, our standard of living and our health and everything else will have declined because of the lack of attention to this problem. And also, on an economic front, regular agencies of the government and corporate entities have decided that billions of dollars will be spent because of the climate change and what it does to the landscape, to factories, to farmers, and so forth. Anyhow, we live in a great country, and we have the wherewithal to keep it that way. I think we should all appreciate ourselves and really pay a lot of attention to what's going on in terms of what people are proposing and talking about. And rather than taking anything at face value, check it out. Check it out should be your motto for the rest of your life and certainly for the rest of the next couple of years.
You know, a couple of things I want to comment about. Every president really since, I'll say, maybe Bill Clinton has tried to take a little bit of power away from Congress with executive orders. Not a money thing, but different actions that they've taken. And Democrats and Republicans alike have been talking about that. So what you have now after Bill Clinton, the Bush regime, even President Obama, you have the climate ripe for the last final grab against the Congress, and that is they're the ones that authorize the money. They're the ones that do that. So that's what makes this ever so more important. That if this stands and it looks like President Trump is going to have to use a veto this time, because he's not going to have enough votes in the Senate. Between the Senate and the Congress to get this through on the first time. When President Trump vetoes this and it goes back to the Senate to see if there's an override, that will be the true test to see if the Senate and the Congress are willing to part really with their last fundamental major thing that they really control, and that is the expenditure of monies in the United States. And you know, when you talk about socialism and fascism, I'm 66, and I know what socialism is. I know what communism is. I know what capitalism is, and I know what fascism is. I would dare, Jim, to bet you that if you went out to a crowd of people, 35 years old or younger, asked them to explain communism,
40.
Ask them to explain what fascism is, ask them to explain what capitalism is, I would be willing to bet you that you would get a lot of stammering, that people don't understand the huge differences between socialism and communism, and socialism and what we have here in our country, capitalism, because our capitalism has thrived in large part due to the social programs that have been instituted over the years. And I just don't think that people, like Jill says, I'll go 40 years and younger, understand the differences and the complexities, how it intertwines and works together.
And I would just like to jump in here and say, and this is really, this is where our journalists and our media could do a much better job. You know, it's a little bit of heavy lifting to learn this stuff, but it would be really, I think, constructive so that people could know what they're talking about. And, you know, even though everybody's brains have sort of been squished into top line headline, we don't need to know anything more than what, you know, our person of choice is banging on about. That doesn't... that's not terribly helpful when you start trying to, you know, build a life and make some coherent decisions. So, just like to throw that in because the old saying is the way media works is people don't want it, so we're not going to do it. And unless people say, yeah, actually, we want it, it facilitates a really specious argument.
Well, I agree wholeheartedly with this lack of knowledge of what these various types of government are or could be. I myself, I really am very perplexed by the inattentiveness that we've given as a society to educating our young people in terms of who they are, U.S. citizens. How did that happen? A revolution. We left the British.
Right. What is its value?
What is its value? And on it goes. But that I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just that we become too substantial, too wealthy. Maybe we have too much. Maybe we have too many distractions. But as a child and as a teenager, you know, I was always very cognizant of what I had here, and nobody had to beat me over the head. You look at headlines, war here, there, people starving, and we didn't have years ago the saturation of news that we have now.
We also didn't have that. I'm sorry to interrupt, but it's just like I got one word for you, and then Marshall's going to probably strangle me, and I'm never going to be able to be on the air again. So I'll miss you all. But screens. you know, you used to get, you had the morning news and the evening news, and then you had to go do life in between. And in addition to prosperity, which has definitely made its own gravy in terms of what people feel that they're entitled to, a certain segment feels that they are entitled to, what you've got is that there's no... When you were growing up, you got to go out. You had to interact with people. You even had to join the armed service. You had to do these things. It was part and parcel of being a functioning citizen. It's the same thing when I think about people saying, well, you know, if someone doesn't really want to work, why should they? Or, well, we don't have enough work for, you know, the value of going out, and I probably sound like an old slogan, and I apologize, but the value of going out and participating and being compensated for your participation, whatever it is. You know, I'm not necessarily talking about just monetary, but just the feeling of engaging and making someone's life better or doing something is hugely necessary to a balanced existence. And we're not even, just from a grown-up standpoint, it's, you know, certain countries at least have, if you won't do military service, you've got to do public service for a year after. And we don't have that. And I'm sorry. I digress.
I just want to point out that, you know, it's very easy to, for you folks that don't understand, social programs in the United States basically started back in 1932 when the Depression was around. Right. But you have the Social Security Act, which was put into effect, the Civilian Conservation Corps, which probably helped the infrastructure in this country more than any other single project in the world. Of course, Social Security was passed in 1935. How about aid to families with dependent children, which is still on your tax reform, is there. The War on Poverty by Lyndon Johnson. All social programs, the Economic Opportunity Act, which provided the Great Society and which really did transform a lot in the United States. Of course, under Bill Clinton, the Personal Responsibility and Work Opportunity Reconciliation Act. You have the Affordable Care Act. You have Medicare, Medicaid. You have child care. You have food stamps. You have supplemental Social Security income.
There are masses of social programs.
You know, socialism mixes very well in the right ways with capitalism, and it kind of keeps capitalism honest. Where in a truly communist country, socialism works at the benefit
at the
of the state. It works at the benefit of the state.
But it works at the very top. It doesn't necessarily, it doesn't trickle down, let's just
but
say.
But in a democratic society that has capitalism, it works more in favor of the people who receive it.
So at the risk of sounding twee, what you're looking for is a balance, but you need to understand that. Again, that takes us right back to really a little confused about what's being accepted as education. You know, like, why aren't people getting more information, more and better information?
Well, as we know and as we've discussed, the news that we actually get, generally speaking, is a little light, shall we say, on substance, light on people thinking out loud without having to worry that somebody's going to take another opinion, rather that other person might have a different opinion, but we'll share it. We don't have that. We have a lot of hollering. But back to young people, I had a conversation with a few folks the other day, and we talked about what happened when we no longer had a military draft. And part of that is, I think, very responsible for this lack of understanding of what we have in this country. You fight for something, you figure out it's worth it or it's not worth it. countless people have figured out living in this country and fighting for it or defending it was worth it. What we've done, we've basically taken a tremendous learning opportunity from our young people. We've taken from them the opportunity to be responsible. We've taken from them the idea that, hey, I'm part of a great country. It's just not this uniform. I represent this country. Now, that's only part of it. But there's another thing that we just had an incredible election. But it's up again. Why did we change Election Day to a working day rather than a day off for people to vote? That's one element of people saying, you know, I got to go to work. It's overtime. It's not that important. Well, it is important, and we saw how important it was this last November. It's changing. That election is changing or attempting to change. The people are attempting to change the morose we've been in terms of our society, in terms of our environment, in terms of our international involvement. So we've had some things over the years that we've basically given up on. And also, very key, and we mentioned this a number of times, the consumption. I think people have lost control over value. It's wonderful to give a kid something. But, you know, at a certain age, to give him something for $300, unless you're a super wealthy person and whatever, and the kid has got a hobby, maybe that's a lame example, but the thing is, there's just too much spending and too much spending on things that are not important. By the way, this is along these lines, I guess. I just came a cropper of some information from an educator I was not aware of, but apparently some of the major colleges and graduate schools are telling their teachers that they must do additional work in and around the college with students and so forth. And one program is that they must call 10, 12 students, this is at the graduate level, to have them decide on this given university. In other words, people have applied, they've been accepted, but they haven't yet signed on the dotted line. I think part of this is a continued commercialization of education, which is why it's so expensive to go, certainly to very good schools, but it's just out of sight in terms of the money spent. And a whole approach to education, I can remember 10 years ago, whatever it was, when some of my friends were, their kids were going to go to college or this or that. All of a sudden, one kid's going to Cambodia for a week on some kind of program. Why? To put it on a resume. That is not value. That is not value. That's like putting on a fancy suit or dress to impress somebody.
We have about 30 seconds left here, Jim.
Well, this has been wonderful. Thank you very much. I thank all of the wonderful listeners, and God bless America. We're going to be fine. Just pay attention, get more aware, take some deep breaths. Have a good day. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Take care, Jim. Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets this morning here on The Breakfast Club on Robinhood Radio.